Those roses from mom, and I had to take them out.
Hear your father slightly. Good morning, and welcome to this morning's worship service of Central Congregational Church of Attleboro Falls. If you're new to the service, welcome, and hope you come back. With us today, we have Pastor Glenn Rounsville, our youth minister, and Dave Valario, our music director, and myself, Wayne Netney. So with that, Pastor Glenn, could you call us to worship?
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea. The Lord is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Let us call ourselves to worship. Thank you. The Apostle John reminds us in his letters that there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. We know that Jesus himself personifies that type of love. He is present with us in our struggles and can turn our fears into hope. He allows us to move forward as we have confidence and security in him. We remember that as we pray the prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Glenn. By way of announcements, very few. I do have a deacons meeting on the schedule for Tuesday, but I don't think there's any reason for us to have one until September, and I'll send an announcement about that. Are there any other meetings that I'm missing? If anyone knows of one, please let me know, because I have none scheduled. And okay, without that, then we have a mission moment from Cheryl Rogers. So Cheryl, if you could unmute yourself. There you go.
Hello, everyone. I want to just say that summer is winding down, but we still do need food for Menorah's Kitchen and for the kids in, I think it's still at Capron Park, but we can bring it, the food to the church, and we'll distribute it where it belongs. And I also have a message that Martha was very kind to bring over this morning, and it's from Betty White, and she's going to be having the sacks filling them up for the kids for the adoptions, and so they need like more personal things more than they do school things. They do need school things, but I would say more personal because everybody is being shifted here and there. So if they can have a sack full of their own personal items as pajamas and underwear and socks, and if the children are older, make sure that they get the personal needs that they need. So I hope everybody pitches in, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Cheryl. If there are no any other announcements, anyone else?
Yeah, Wayne, I think there's a, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, a Future of the Church meeting on Thursday.
Is that, okay.
Is that correct, anybody? I got a notice saying it was on Thursday night, the 13th.
Yeah, that sounds right. And actually, Ashley sent a note.
Yeah.
Okay.
An email.
Fine, I just don't have it on my schedule. So thank you, Dave.
Okay. And just an administrative thing, I think Gil needs to be muted. He came on and I think he's unmuted.
Listen, that's a loaded statement. Okay.
we'll notice it when we start singing, because I know Gil likes to sing.
So. He likes that bass note he's got going. Yeah. Okay, Dave, would you like to introduce our hymn?
Yeah. And I'd just like to say before we do the hymn, so I, at this point, I've been recording all the music and doing all the singing and all that stuff for all the services, because I know it was summer and we had a lot of things going on. We had a choir member's birth of a baby and people moving and knee injuries and all kinds of stuff. So by all means, it's summertime and I didn't mind doing that stuff. But I do want to get back to when we hit the fall, especially September, October, heading towards November and heading towards Christmas, want to start thinking about reaching out and doing music with other people, choir members, even people that aren't in the choir, but especially choir members, and getting people back involved. And once our life settled down in September a little bit after the summer, I'm going to reach out and try to start doing that again. So I just want to put that invitation out to music people and choir members that I haven't forgotten about you. It just got to be a crazy busy summer, and we're going to get back to trying to do that, to offer up some music for our services. Okay, and with that, we're going to sing our hymn, O Worship the King. And as you hear it, you'll hear the guitar play it first, and then we'll sing two verses after that. Worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing of power and God's love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee we do trust, nor find thee fail. Thy mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and friend.
And now is our time to share our concerns and celebrations with one another. Let's start with our celebrations. Please let me know who's speaking, because I can only see four people on my screen, so it would help to let me know that. Any celebrations?
Jackie, didn't you have a birthday this past week? No, it's always your birthday. All right.
I had a celebration that my dad is doing much better after the surgery to put the pacemaker in. He's had physical therapy and, the nurse come in and stuff, and now he's able to. Actually, he had to sit up this whole time, so now he's been able to lie down, like sleep normal in the bed and stuff like that. So, be up and about a little bit. So that's been good.
I have a celebration, Reverend Glenn.
Yep.
My son, after like a year and a half, is finally going back to work. He had back surgery and. It's been a long road, and of course, with the pandemic, nobody was hiring. But he finally found something, and he's going to try it out for a while and see how it works out. But I'm just glad for that, because he needs to get back to a routine.
So I've got a celebration. This is Cheryl. I went to the beach this week with my daughter and her friend, and we went at low tide so we could find shells and sea glass and all that stuff. And of course, you get so involved in doing so, you go out and there's nothing, and you come back and it's up to your knees and you're trying to walk back. It's I felt some good muscles, but I had a blow. But my back of my legs hurt, so I guess I'm out of shape. But we had a ball.
Nice to be outside, huh?
Yeah. We walked the beach for over 5 miles.
Wow.
That was pretty cool. We had a good morning.
Awesome.
And then when it got hot, we came home. Put in the air conditioning. The beaches were too crowded, and it's like, oh, no.
Yeah, crazy, yeah.
Yep, high tide's coming, people want to swim, it's like not too many people at low tide, but, high tide, and it's like, we're going home. So, that's my celebration.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you. Any others? How about concerns? Do we have concerns?
Of And can we include my granddaughter, Sadie? It's Pam. She's got a cut in her finger with a fracture on the fingertip, just that she doesn't get an infection.
Okay. Any others? Okay, let's pray. God, we do thank you for all the good things that you give to us constantly. Sometimes we forget even what those are, but we thank you for the blessing of most of us not having issues during the hurricane and the high winds that we had. We thank you for that. I thank you for Dave's son being able to find work and go back to somewhat of a routine. I thank you that my dad is recovering well. I pray that the second surgery could be scheduled and that would go well for the heart valve too. I thank you that Cheryl and her daughter and friends were able to have a great time the other day on the beach, kind of before all the crowds came in. We thank you for that. We have a list of concerns that have been ongoing. And some of those involve the people mentioned now, Lee, Cher, Chad, Tyler, Jen, Doris, Wade, Steve, and Lee, Ken, Brigida, Marie, Carol D, Matt T, and Janice and Dennis B. Janice is having shoulder surgery. Dennis may have a spinal infection. I pray that you'd be present with them and pray that you would lessen those things and make sure they don't have a lot of pain associated with those. We also pray for those in nursing homes and assisted living. Bud, Jackie, Carol, and now Ed is at the Maples, and his wife Janet is at Sturdy Hospital. I pray that you would be with them in a powerful way this morning. And also Pam's granddaughter, Sadie, as she recovers from an injury to her fingertip. I pray that that would not become infected, but would heal well. I also pray for those on the front lines that are helping with COVID patients. And I pray that the uptick that we're having in those cases would decline, that people would take things seriously and wear their masks and do the distancing as we need to do. And I pray at some point that you would crush that illness or provide us with a cure for that. I also pray that you'd be with our government leaders. I pray that you'd grant them wisdom as we deal with not only the COVID, but other issues in our world that are very pressing. I also pray for those in the military who serve and protect us. I pray that you'd be with them and also with their families. I also pray for all of us as we go into our weeks, as things are very different now with the COVID, and I just pray that we could adjust well and that you would be present in the anxiety that it creates. I just pray that you would bring some comfort to us and that we would feel your presence in a powerful way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture lesson for today continues our reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Again, you should be very familiar with this. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. and early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." May God help us in our understanding of these words.
So I'd like to emphasize the first word that Wayne spoke in this passage, which was immediately. Immediately. So immediately after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus did something. And it was the same thing that he did prior to the feeding of the 5,000, if you remember. He went to a solitary place to pray. So he sent the disciples away in order to be alone with the Father. Now, I think that's something that we need to focus on. Sometimes we miss that immediately when we read this passage. It's so familiar to us about Peter doubting and sinking below the waves. I'm always fascinated by Peter and how he appears in the text. He's so enthusiastic in his faith, and then he almost always blows it. Sometimes we do the same thing, so I can identify, but he kind of misses the point of what Jesus is doing. Jesus sends the disciples ahead of him. Obviously, he didn't have a separate boat to follow them in. The disciples didn't question how was he going to get to the other side. They didn't say any of that. None of that's captured in the text. And so Jesus sends them ahead. And it says there's a storm, a big storm. So Jesus, it says a long time elapsed. So who knows how far he had to walk on water to catch up with the disciples. But it must have been to the point where their vision was obscured. They couldn't see who it was. So they thought Jesus was a ghost. And so they were afraid. So not only were they afraid by the storm, but they were afraid by this vision that they were seeing in front of them walking toward them. I don't know about you, but I probably would have been afraid in a similar way because this hadn't happened before, hadn't happened to anyone before. So the disciples, I mean, they wouldn't be alone if we were there with them. So Peter, I also wonder why Peter was so afraid, being in the boat, being in the water there as a fisherman. He must have known the patterns of storms and things and how to do what he needed to do in the boat to protect himself. But there it is. He's afraid as well, and they're all cowering there in the boat, and they see Jesus coming. But you could almost use the word that was used at the beginning of the passage. Immediately, Peter calls out to Jesus and says, "If it's you, tell me to come out on the waves. Tell me to walk to you on the waves." Now, that shows a considerable amount of faith for him to take kind of Jesus at his word and walk toward him. But then what happens? He remembers the storm. He starts to look around. He takes his eyes off Jesus, and he starts to sink. He starts to sink. And now in terms of, you know, where do we fit in this. How does this relate to us? I think it relates in a big way, because sometimes we get bogged down with worries or fears, things that we think are beyond God or Jesus to fix, beyond his capability, beyond his strength, beyond the power that he has to give us. And I think we've all been there. We're overwhelmed. And instead of doing what Jesus would do to find a place of solace and go apart from all the cares of the world and everyone around us, to get rid of the distractions and focus entirely on God, to focus on Jesus in prayer, and to see what happens, to see how we are filled, to see how God would overwhelm those fears and bring things to a calm place, even as Jesus calms the storm in the story. I mean, it's very, you can use it very metaphorically in terms of sinking, and also in terms of the waves being calmed, that we would find a place of peace as we seek God out, as we seek Jesus out. I'm also kind of amazed that the disciples missed the point initially of Jesus walking on the water, but then they kind of figure it out. It's like Peter was the first to identify Jesus as the Messiah, and then he got distracted, as you might remember, and he said, when he realizes the rest of the plan of Jesus going to Jerusalem and having to die on a cross, he's like, no, don't let that happen. But in this case, they see kind of all together at the end that Jesus is the Son of God. But nobody else could perform this kind of miracle. I mean, they don't have the technical stuff that we have now to do all the stuff in movies and you know, make things look like they're happening, that they're not, the green screen and all that, the different backgrounds they use, so you can do all these tricks. Well, there's no trick involved when somebody's walking on water and then they just come into the boat. How could you explain that other than God in the flesh? So that's what we have. We have God in the flesh. And the disciples, they have to see this kind of time and time again. If you read beyond the passage that we read a little bit further, you find that it's the same kind of instance as the feeding of the 5,000. They get to the other side, and there is the crowd again. The crowd is waiting for them. And I have to think that is an overwhelming thing for the disciples, even as it was for Jesus, and you know what to make of it all. But it says that people came to Jesus, and all they did was touch his clothes, and they were healed. That the faith of those who followed him was so great that they were healed. So I think that's another part of the text that maybe they shouldn't have left that part out, that there's a huge crowd, there's a huge group of disciples whose faith is enough to heal them. Without even Jesus saying one word, they're healed, just as a result of who he is and who they believe him to be. So as we go through our week, there are a lot of things to be anxious about, to be fearful about. And I took a class online about COVID, and in one of the sections it says that a lot of us can't even connect with the feelings that are, you know, just beneath the surface. A lot of people are experiencing like somatic issues, like health-related issues. Like they feel nauseous or dizzy and kind of feel off, but it's not an illness that we can pinpoint. Also that anxiety, our anxiety levels are up really high. And I think if you begin to identify that and pray about that, that some of that is relieved, that this it won't last forever, that Jesus is still in charge, that he's in control, that he can calm the storm even now that we're in. And in some way can make things, I think it makes it better as a result because we realize what's really important. We start to take relationships more seriously. We reach out, I think, even more. We're less distracted by, I mean, after we were shut in or whatever you want to call it, confined, the first couple of days of TV were okay, but after that, it's like, is this all there is, really? And entertaining yourself and what have you, and then you start to think, well, what can I do, really? And then people, they started making masks, they started reaching out to each other, the prayers went out, and so I think a lot of good can come out of it if we focus on God and what he wants us to do, and we realize that he is the answer to what we need. And I think overall, I think Peter got the message finally. Instead of trying to make it the Peter show, like, oh, let me see if I can walk on water, he realized that Jesus walked on water for a reason, to show himself to his disciples, to show who he really was. Amen. and now receive the benediction. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That concludes our worship service for this morning. You are, as always, welcome to hang around for our virtual coffee hour, and hope to see you guys next week. So if you want to hang around, just unmute yourself and feel free to participate.